Welcome to another edition of the Basketball Teacher Podcast. Our mission is to bring you discussions on a wide array of topics in the coaching world to grow players on and off the court. You can connect with us on YouTube, Facebook, and Twitter, and also reach us directly through email at basketballteacherpodcast@gmail.com. Now, here's your host, Coach Mike Hernandez.
Welcome back, everyone. Thank you guys so much for joining us here for another episode. As always, wherever in the world you're listening to us from, whatever platform you guys are listening to us on, thank you guys so much for the support, messages, emails, tweets, all the things that you've sent the show's way. Keep all that coming. And I'm really excited to be bringing this one to you today because, as I was talking about with my guest before we started, I'm not sure how many of you listening are even aware that this particular topic exists or what this is really all about. I know that, you know, when most of us think about college basketball, we think of the NCAA, but we're going to talk about a different form, a different organization form, a different association of collegiate sports, and that's the National Christian College Athletic Association. And what I really am kind of excited to talk about with that is kind of unearth and learn a little bit about this association and what basketball looks like, what the level of basketball play is like, as my guest will talk about what they personally enjoy about being in that environment. And also, you know, maybe for some of you listening who are coaches, maybe this type of collegiate association might be what the best fit is for your players, and giving you as a listener some information about that as well to maybe expose you to an option that you didn't know existed is also really exciting. So we're going to dive right into it here with the head coach at Arlington Baptist on the women's basketball side. Very happy to be joined today by Coach Guy Roach. Coach, really appreciate you being able to come on and spend some time talking to us today. How are things going?
Things are going well. Yes, I'm very excited to come on today and give you a little bit more information about this level of basketball that I feel like is a little bit overlooked sometimes. So for sure, I'm super excited.
Awesome. Coach, let's start with your basketball journey. I know there was a lot of you playing in your basketball journey. Your basketball journey had a lot of playing experience involved in it. So talk about where your basketball journey took you as a player, and then how did you end up in the coaching side, and how did you end up at Arlington Baptist?
Right, for sure. So, you know, I first picked up a basketball in seventh grade whenever I was 12 years old. And, you know, at the time I kind of felt like I was a little behind because, you know, my friends and, you know, the people on my team had been playing, you know, since they were, you know, like in fifth grade. So, you know, looking back on it, I guess I wasn't that far behind as I thought I was, but that's how I felt, you know, picking a basketball up in seventh grade. But yeah, I mean, I always say that, you know, I can't believe that picking up that basketball whenever I was 12 years old led me to where I am today. You know, I mean, if I hadn't had done that, I wouldn't even, you know, be on the podcast with you, today right now. So, but yeah, like I said, I started playing whenever I was 12 years old and kind of fell in love with it from there. And then obviously, you know, as I started getting into high school, you know, the desire to play college basketball came about. And then I also kind of knew, you know, in high school that I wanted to be a coach, you know, at a pretty young age, like not too far long after, I started playing, cause I had a coach, like one of my very first, coaches, his name was, Coach Joseph Baldridge a coach out of Houston. And he told me one day, you know, that he became a coach because he loved basketball so much that he wanted to stay, you know, just engulfed in the sport even after he was done playing. And so, you know, me hearing that as a 12-year-old, I was like, you know, that sounds pretty good. So that kind of stuck with me, you know, throughout high school. And then, straight out of high school, I graduated from Tomball High School, and here in the Houston area, like just outside of Houston. I went the JUCO route. I went to Clarendon Junior College and played there for 2 years. And then, in 2017, I came to Arlington Baptist University and played my junior and senior year of college there. And, you know, I'm still here. I guess, you know, whenever I got there in 2017, I didn't look back. And so now I'm, you know, whenever I was done playing, I spent about 3.5 years as an assistant, and now I'm very blessed and fortunate to be the head coach of the program. So very, very cool, journey. Like I said, definitely didn't expect picking up that basketball in seventh grade to lead me where I am today.
Yeah, and it's just been, it's just hearing it, just so cool how it seems like it seamlessly transitioned right from playing stop to coaching began. It was like right away from one to the other. And I know that one of the things that you wanted to talk about, and I wanted to give you a platform to talk about, was your experience kind of navigating through the college recruitment experience. And I know that it is a whirlwind, and I know that it can be crazy. And for you, I know going through it without maybe having a lot of background or having a lot of people that you can necessarily like rely on. I want to ask you about what do you know now about the recruiting experience that maybe you wish that you knew back when you were being recruited and going through it as a player yourself?
I love to talk about this just because whenever I was going through it, I didn't have much guidance. And it wasn't, because like I was necessarily being neglected, but I mean, both of my parents, neither of them completed college. I was the first college grad from my family. And nobody in my family, I don't think like, ever had even played sports in college. So it was just something that, my family, and I personally just were completely unfamiliar with. I didn't have a ton of help from my high school coach, so it was something that I quite literally navigated by myself whenever I was, 17 years old. So, I was not heavily recruited, going into my senior year. And I remember, being in high school literally, during my senior year and, just, having that overwhelming thought of, like what was going to be next for me. I had no idea. And I knew that I wanted to play collegiately. Obviously that was my goal, but I didn't necessarily know how that was going to happen. So I didn't have any offers, throughout my whole senior year. And I don't want to say nowadays, like I'm so old, I'm 26, but nowadays, I feel like the recruiting is that platform is just kind of more known, I guess, than it was then, especially, like with Twitter, blowing up so much with recruiting and like Field Level is an app that I literally use every day. I don't even know if Field Level was, a thing back then, but I know for sure that recruiting on Twitter was not as big as it was in 2015 as it is now. So yeah, I took it upon myself after my senior year was, or my senior season was already over, during spring break. So it's funny right now because, we were talking earlier about how, we're on spring break, but I took spring break my senior year to literally put all of my highlights together on Windows Movie Maker, and I put it on YouTube, and
Wow.
it's still on YouTube to this day. It
Awesome.
actually
So it
has
still
it
lives.
has a few thousand views. I'm not
Oh,
trying to, but
okay.
it has a few thousand views. But yeah, my high school senior year highlights are on YouTube right now, and I took that link and I started sending it out to just, any college coach that I could. And I was realistic too about, my level, and that's something that I think is important to note because, I see, there is a level of college basketball for every, every kid that wants to play college basketball. Like I sincerely believe that. But a lot of times I see, kids trying to reach out to, like South Carolina and, like UConn and all this stuff. And I'm like, that's probably not, the right level for you. But, but anyway, so I actually, the majority of the emails that I sent out were to junior college coaches. And so I ended up getting a few looks and a few offers that way. And ultimately, I decided to go with Clarendon, and I spent 2 years there. But yeah, I mean, from that experience and knowing what I know now, for one, it's never too late. 'Cause I've heard, a few recruits tell me before that they have like, they committed to a school and they ended up decommitting because they felt like they were being rushed or that they were running out of time. And, obviously, I mean, whenever you get into the fall, obviously, and coaches, I mean, colleges have already started their semester, then yeah, that's probably too late. But I mean, I've literally had girls that have come in, like, not that this is a great thing, but like 2 weeks, before the semester started and decided that they wanted to commit and get everything done. And so, for people to, for young recruits in high school to feel like, they're being rushed and they're, quote unquote, running out of time right now, is, way far from the truth. Like I said, I mean, I didn't get any offers at all until, like spring break in 2015. So that's definitely one thing that I've learned. And then another thing that I've learned is that, you know, sometimes I also kind of feel like it's, you know, kind of a misconception that, you know, you're always going to be found. Like, I mean, you know, like I said, I was a pretty good player in high school. I wasn't anything, you know, like super standout-ish. You know, I wasn't averaging 20 points a game, but I knew that I was still good enough to play college basketball, but I didn't necessarily have all of the, you know, exposure available to me. I didn't I think that I missed out on like a, I think my junior year, summer maybe of AAU, either sophomore or junior year, you know, so I missed some exposure there. So, you know, sometimes you have to take it upon yourself. You can't expect, you know, coaches to find you. You can't expect, you know, basically like things to be done for you. And I mean, it kind of goes hand in hand with, you know, the time that you put into the game anyway. You know, you can't expect things to be done for you. So sometimes you have to take matters into your own hands and literally, you know, put together your own film and get your own name out there, and stuff like that. So, yeah, you know, I am glad though that I did go through that recruiting process, you know, by myself, where, you know, I kind of didn't know what to do, because like I said, this is one thing that I love to talk about, just because, I know what it's like, you know, to feel like, you know, you don't really have much guidance through that. So I like, you know, for, you know, just any young athlete that I come across, I always try to just sprinkle a little bit of that, you know, advice to them, just so, you know, because I would have loved somebody to do that for me whenever I was going through it. So, yeah, that's kind of how it worked for me. And like I said, that's why I love to just kind of help and give any kind of advice that I can to anybody about that recruiting process, for sure.
And it's fun now because of your experience, like as a coach, like you can definitely attest to that, right? Where there's, where it's never like, you know, necessarily maybe even like too late for players, or I'm sure as you've talked about, and we talked about before we start recording, right, about players reaching out to you and taking initiative and taking control over their own recruiting situation. So
right.
It's pretty fun to hear you talk about that advice that you wish that you had known then. It's like, also that the fact that you now see players kind of like are doing that. You're like, man, like this player is like taking this initiative and reaching out to me and, you know, doing all these and has all this, like, this is great that, you know, players are doing that. And, I think it's really cool to as a coach that you can kind of speak on the fact that like that advice and those recommendations that you would give players are the things that our current players are probably doing right now for you, that you're seeing, and they're like, oh yeah, you're taking that initiative. Now I have a little bit more interest in you. I'm really going to take a look at you. Whereas maybe, you know, I would have never found you if you didn't reach out to me first.
Right. Yeah. 100%.
That's awesome. And I wanted to ask you with that too, is about, I think for a lot of players who are being recruited, one of the things that they can have happen is they get really overwhelmed with all of like potentially the options or the offers or the things that they have available to them. And they kind of get that paralysis of not knowing what to decide, or how do I know that this decision I'm going to make is going to be the best one? Or like, what if there's, you know, this better school? How do I know if this one that I want to commit to is going to be the best one? How did you kind of personally know in your experience when you found the colleges that you were going to play at, that this is where I want to be, and I'm at ease and I'm comfortable with that decision?
Right. So, I remember I was stuck between two colleges, and you know, the one actually that I didn't end up going to, whenever they first, you know, kind of reached out to me, for whatever reason in my head, like I was dead set. I was like, oh, this is for sure, you know, where I'm going to go, you know, like I'm going to visit both of these schools, but I'm pretty sure that, you know, that's where I'm going to be next year. And so I went on a visit, and of course, this is also, you know, like another piece of advice, which is kind of, you know, like, in a way obvious, you know, go on visits and go, you know, experience the campus and the coach, you know, specifically yourself. But you know, I did that. I went to both, and I loved both. I genuinely did. I think both of the coaches that, you know, were offering me, that I think they are both great coaches, and they've gone on to continue to do great things like to this day. But whenever I went to Clarendon, which is for a little bit of context, it's in the middle of nowhere, like middle of absolutely nowhere, like only a few stoplights in the town, no McDonald's, no Walmart, you know, like literally in the middle of nowhere. But you know, I went to that little school in that little town, and I just kind of knew whenever I was there, and I knew whenever I was, you know, talking to the coach that this was definitely somebody that I wanted to play for. And, you know, a lot of times it is kind of, you know, intuition. You know, it's a very broad statement to make, but, you know, when you know, you know. But that's kind of another piece of advice that I try to tell these girls. Like, I was talking to a recruit the other day, and, you know, she had just recently, you know, like decommitted from another school and wanted to reopen her recruiting process. And she was telling me herself, you know, about like all of the thoughts, you know, just the reservations that she was having about the school that she had previously committed to. And, you know, I was telling her, you know, kind of the same thing that they tell you whenever, like, you're shopping and you see, you know, like some kind of shirt, some kind of outfit in the store. And the thing that you're supposed to think, right, is if you don't love it, whenever you're there in the store and you're like looking at it, then you're probably going to end up not wearing it. If you buy it, it's like right. The same kind of concept. You know, if you go there and, you know, you're something in your gut, you know, just feels off, and then something in your gut feels on about another place or another coach, you know, what have you, then that's just, you know, kind of how you know. And then, of course, you know, sometimes you get there and, you know, maybe your intuition was wrong, or, you know, maybe you ignored, you know, that gut feeling that you have, and, you know, you end up transferring. But no, I definitely think that just, you know, like really, really listening to your gut is a big part in that. And, you know, funny enough, me going to Clarendon actually didn't even work out the way that I thought it would, mm-hmm. because the coach that recruited me there actually, she took another job like the yeah. third day that I was there.
Oh, wow.
And it was a great job, a job at a D1 school. Like, she absolutely should have done it, you know, and she's great. She, like I said, I still talk to her to this day. And I never even really played for her, but,
yeah.
You know, even I still would never have traded my, you know, experience at Clarendon for anything. And, you know, like I just said, I mean, I still went there and met her for a reason, because she's still a mentor of mine today. So, you know, it's, you know, it's funny, because you can't see everything, you know, obviously, like, you can't see the whole picture as you're, you know, in that moment. But yeah, I mean, looking back on it now, even though, like I said, going to Clarendon didn't go exactly the way that I thought it would, I'm really glad that I trusted my gut, and, you know, I knew that that was where, you know, I was supposed to be. And I, you know, I don't regret it at all.
Yeah, I really like that advice, though, that trusting that intuition, you know, go on that visit, and like you just get kind of get that feeling. It's almost like, I think of it as like you kind of mentioned about the clothes shopping, right? Or just something that like you just know, like, I like this or I don't kind of like this sort of thing.
Right.
And if it fits, definitely take those visits. I completely agree. Make sure you go to those visits. And
yes,
you know, I tell my players who are fortunate enough to get those, like, go on those visits, ask all the questions you can, like, really take
absolutely.
Everything in, because, you know, this is supposed to be their best impression, right? This is supposed to be the best, you know, that you're supposed to feel, and they're supposed to make you feel at ease and make you feel welcome and make you feel that you belong there. And I tell my players, if you don't get that feeling at all, like, that feeling's probably not going to come, you know, later on. Like, if you,
right,
if you
feel right.
it, you're going to feel it. If you don't, you probably aren't, sort of thing. So no, that's great. Let me ask you now, as we kind of shift talking about the, NCCAA and what that experience is like. And now I know that for you, you can't speak for every single school that's in the National Christian College Athletic Association. However, as somebody who's been around it and has as much varied experience as you do, I wanted to kind of ask you in general terms, how would you describe kind of the college experience that an athlete who would go to one of these schools might be able to expect? Well, kind of paint us a picture as to what they might be expecting if they were to kind of be playing or go into that sort of situation.
Right. So, well, to start, I think it's important to note, so there is, there's an NCAA Division I and Division II. So Arlington Baptist University is Division II, and the Division II level kind of works like the NCAA Division III. So, you know, we don't give athletic scholarships. Mm-hmm. And then NCAA Division I, you can give athletic scholarships at that level.
Okay.
Now, I wanted to kind of explain that, because what happens a lot at the NCAA double A division one level is what you'll see is there's a lot of schools at that level that are actually dually affiliated. So there's a bunch of NAIA programs and NAIA schools that are affiliated with both the NAIA and the NCAA. For example, Mid-America Christian University in Oklahoma is one that is in the NAIA and also dually affiliated with the NCAA. Now, the same way in at the Division II level, at our level, you also have NCAA Division III schools that are dually affiliated with the NCAA Division II. I know that that's a lot of letters and C's and A's, so I hope that that kind of made sense. But yeah, I say that to say, you know, like it varies obviously from school to school. You know, there's some NAIA schools that, you know, and this is something that I also like to talk about because I find it a huge benefit to, you know, to be playing at like, you know, a quote unquote, a smaller level, just because, you know, you can go to an NAIA school and, you know, compete nationally, potentially like on both levels. So like, for example, I don't know about like Mid-America's like ranking in the NAIA, but I do know for a fact that they're in the top 10 of the NCAA. So, you know, they have that opportunity to possibly, you know, qualify for both tournaments. Now, what happens usually, you know, the NAIA is much bigger than the NCCAA. So a lot of times, you know, if a school qualifies for the NAIA tournament, then they won't go to the NCCAA tournament.
Right.
However, if something happens, you know, and they can't, you know, they don't qualify for the NAIA tournament, they can still go and have an opportunity to win, you know, a ring, a national championship at, you know, the NCCAA. So the same thing, you know, happens at the D2 level, of course. Actually this year, the tournament is actually going on. It'll start on Thursday, I believe, in Minneapolis, Minnesota. And the host school, I believe, is Crown College, who is an NCAA Division III school that is dually affiliated with the NCCAA. And so they're hosting the NCCAA tournament, and they're in it. I think I want to say that they're the 7 seed, the 7 or 6 seed. So yeah, it's a really interesting thing. It's kind of a confusing dynamic. Maybe I'm just used to it. So I hope that I'm explaining it well enough. But yeah, no, I love that. Like I said, I think it's awesome because again, it's just, there's so many different levels of college basketball out there. And I, you know, obviously I have personal experience with the NCAA, and it's an awesome experience. You know, I always love to give my experience as a player, and it's really cool, you know, to just kind of have your own, you know, version of March Madness. I mean, it is still, you know, March Madness, of course, but it's super, super exciting. You know, it's still very competitive, and there's still, you know, upsets that happen. It's yeah, all, you know, like the same kind of aspects that, you know, you see on TV, you know, and stuff like that. But it's given to us, you know, at a much smaller, you know, like on a much smaller platform, but I mean, crazy stuff can still happen, and a ton of fun, you know, can still happen. And of course, you know, from a student athlete perspective, it's awesome, you know, to get that feeling, to go to a national tournament, and even just to compete at a national level. You know, that's something that you don't get everywhere. I did not get that whenever I went to Clarendon. Now, Clarendon's much better now than they are whenever I was there, or than they were whenever I was there.
Yeah.
But, you know, it wasn't even a thought in my mind, you know, competing nationally whenever I was there. And then whenever I came to Arlington Baptist University and I, you know, played at an NCCAA school, it quickly became a reality. So it's definitely something, like I said, that's super exciting to be a part of.
So with that, I wanted to ask about the, I don't know if there's a more tactful way to ask this, but I'll do my best to ask it about the religious component, the religious element that makes its way in there, because these are all universities and colleges, right, that are religious in nature. They have a religious foundation to them. So I'm curious for the athletes themselves, their level of commitment to a particular religious denomination if they're going to go to one of these schools? Is that something that has an impact on the types of schools that they might want to go to, or is it a situation where they're going to go and, you know, have to take certain classes on certain religions, but they don't have to necessarily be practicing a particular denomination? How does that kind of factor into their experience?
Yeah, so you know, obviously, yeah, pretty much everybody, well, actually I'm pretty sure everybody in the NCCAA is a member. You know, they are a faith-based institution. Obviously, you know, National Christian College Athletic Association. So yes, I mean it does play a big part. And you know, to be honest with you, that's something that I loved being a part of whenever I was at Arlington Baptist. You know, I wanted that growth. I wanted to grow in my faith. And so yeah, we do like Arlington Baptist specifically, and obviously I can't really speak for other schools, but I'm sure that it is similar at other schools that are affiliated with the NCCAA. Each of our majors does have, you know, a certain number of Bible courses that is required. Now, you know, it varies across the different courses. You know, like for example, we have business and we also have ministry. Obviously, a ministry major is going to be taking a lot more, you know, ministry courses, Bible courses than a business major would. You know, whenever you're majoring in business, you still have to take, you know, obviously like, you know, your business math and whatever else. I didn't major in business. So whatever other business courses, you know, are involved in that, but there are still Bible courses that are required. Now with us, you know, specifically at ABU, we do have chapel twice a week. And of course, you know, we encourage our girls to, or well, our students in general to find a home church. You know, and go to church every Sunday. And, you know, a lot of times that kind of scares people at first. You know, like, I mean, I've
Does
had
it?
recruits that come in and not necessarily it scares them in the sense like they're opposed to it. Like that's not what they want. 'Cause, you know, but I'll have, you know, some girls that will say, well, oh, well, you know, I haven't been to church in a long time. And, you know, I believe, but I haven't been to church in a long time, and you know, I don't always, you know, read my Bible every day. And my answer to them always is like, I want you here 10 times more. You know, like I want you to be exposed to that. I want you to be in a Christ-centered environment. You know, if you're willing to open your heart, you know, and that's something that, you know, you want to grow in and learn more about, then yeah, I mean, I want you 10 times more than I already did. And so you know, again, my personal experience, I loved playing at ABU. Obviously, I mean we won a ton. You know, my junior
That's
and
nice
senior year,
too, yeah.
yeah, my junior and senior year were our fourth and fifth consecutive national championships. And you know, obviously all of that is great, but that off the court growth is something that was by far the most valuable thing in my experience there. And so that's, you know, what I want to continue you know, in my coaching now. So yeah, I mean, like I said, you know, we get girls sometimes where that kind of makes them a little bit nervous. But whenever they get here, obviously it's an adjustment. And you know, I always compare my experience here to my experience in my JUCO. Two completely different worlds. Two
Yeah.
completely different worlds. But both of them, you know, again, I don't regret at all. I loved it. I loved my JUCO, and I loved, you know, coming to ABU and playing in the NCCAA.
Now that's and that's really cool to hear, and I think that that's something that is maybe a bit of a misconception that some recruits or some players who might be looking at one of these institutions might be worried about is, right, they might have a religious foundation, but they might have that concern of like, oh, like you said, I don't go to church all the time, or maybe I haven't, you know, been, you
Right.
know, as studious or as dutiful to my religious duties, but like I want to be a part of this. Am I still like welcome here, sort of thing? And so to hear that, you know, hear you
Yes.
talk about like yes, absolutely, sort of thing, using it as like a place of growth and a place as like a way to you know, have that foundation that you mentioned, and then continue to build off of that. I think that's really reassuring, and hopefully for some coaches listening who might have players who are interested, like, yeah, like it's okay. It's okay if maybe they're
Yeah.
not, you know, as studious 24/7. Like if they have that desire, right? That desire for that growth, as you kind of mentioned, that desire to have
Yes.
that religion as their foundation. Like that's who you're looking for, and that's who you really really want to make sure that you bring in if they want to have that sort of college experience.
Yes, 100%.
That's all. So talk about the caliber of play at this level for coaches who may not know about it. Now, they may have a little bit of familiarity, may have NAIA or D3, but talk about in your experience, what type of athletes do you kind of find yourself recruiting that fit in into the system that you run and fit into that caliber? How would you describe the level of play?
It's definitely still a very high level of play. You know, that's something too that I like to touch on just because, you know, I feel like sometimes since, you know, people haven't heard of the NCCAA, I don't know what they expect, but in my experience, it's like they haven't really expected a lot. You know, somebody that has never heard of the NCCAA, you know, thinks that it's not a high level of basketball. First of all, any level of college basketball is a higher level of college of basketball. I mean, it just is. And so, you know, with the NCCAA, I mean, you can have all different types of levels of players. I mean, there's players that have gone on to play, you know, professionally. And, you know, like for example, just a little bit of ABU history, a few years ago, like even, I mean, before I was there, we actually had two NCAA Division I transfers from the University of Texas at Arlington. So that's, you know, like right down the street from us. That's like, you know, 15 minutes probably down the street from us. And they didn't, you know, get a ton of playing time at UTA. And I don't even really know the full story about how exactly they ended up at Arlington Baptist, but they did. And one of them was the National Player of the Year at our level. And the other one was a second team All-American at our level. So and then another year, like a couple years after that, we actually had two Division II transfers from Texas Women's University in Denton, Texas. So and again, one of them was a first team All-American, another one was a second team All-American. And you know, like I said, that's, you know, just kind of speaking from ABU's experience, but that kind of happens like across the NCCAA is like, you know, you'll have those players that they come in and they, you know, they're coming from, you know, a quote unquote higher level, you know, a more competitive level of college basketball, or coming from an NCAA school, and they come here and they, you know, either, you know, do really, really well and they prosper. And then there's also some that are kind of just like, you know, a role player on the team. So like I said, it's a super, super high level, a very competitive level of college basketball. I would just like, you know, just kind of going by our schedule this year. We had a few NAIAs on the schedule, and we also in our first semester before we got into like our region play. And we also had a few NCAA Division III schools on our schedule. With our NAIA schools, we play them pretty close. With, for example, Texas College and Tyler, we split with them this year. So like we lost by, I think, 5 in our very first game of the season there, and then we got them back at home. With we played, I think, three Division III schools this year, and beat 2 out of those 3. So that's kind of the level that I kind of compare us to, is like the NCAA Division III and the NAIA type of level. Like that's kind of the level that we compete well at, I would say. And especially, you know, with us being in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, that's like all that's around there. You know, there's JUCOs, there's D3, there's
Tons.
NAIA schools. So it leads to us having, you know, kind of a tougher schedule. But we compete. I mean, those are games, you know, that I put on the schedule that I expect to win. So that's, like I said, a comparable, you know, just kind of like competition level that I would say. As far as like the kind of athlete that I look to fit into our system specifically, we play very fast. So it's a super fun way to play. You know, we're getting up, you know, pressing full court pretty much the entire game. We're basically trying to turn our defense into offense and score in transition, and you know, put up a lot of points that way. So I typically go for, you know, like faster players, and I'm always looking for a good defender. Like if you can play defense and you can hit a layup, you know, you can probably, you know, be successful here. And so that's like the, you know, the main thing that I look for. And it does kind of lead to us being a bit undersized, obviously, you know, because it's typically, you know, the little faster guards that, you know, can play that fast, of course.
Yeah, of course.
But, like, I think the tallest player on my team this year was, like, maybe 5'9 in her shoes. And then the rest, like, everybody else was, like, 5'7, 5'6, like, around that average height. But, yeah, I mean, we run people out the gym. Like, that's kind of how we've always done it. That's how we've always played, even whenever I was playing here. That's what's put the banners on the wall. And, yeah, it's fun. Obviously, you got to be in shape, but – by the time that we got the season going, my girls hated whenever I was like, all right, let's pull back a little bit. You know, we're like up by 30 or something. And I'm like begging them to come out of the press and they just forget, you know, they're like still,
yeah, they're still going
around
after
and try to, yeah, they're still trying to, you know, pick up, you know, at 90 feet away from the basket. And I'm like, y'all get back. But, no, yeah, that's definitely like the two main things that I look for is like, you know, can you keep up with us and can you defend?
So when you're on the recruiting and when you're looking for players, what do you, knowing that it's so competitive and knowing that there's so many, you know, different, you know, colleges out there, and there's so many people that are, you know, looking to find players and looking to find athletes, when you're looking to recruit a player, when you find a player that you think works really well for your system and the way that you play, and also, you know, maybe would be a good fit. What is your kind of, I guess, pitch, for lack of a better term? What do you kind of sell them on as something that they're going to get in your program that maybe is unique or specific to you and the experience that you could maybe provide that player?
You know, the biggest thing, because, you know, I whenever I'm talking to a recruit, I kind of think of, you know, like what I would be looking for, you mm-hmm. know, if I was a player. And I didn't even know about Arlington Baptist University whenever I was in high school. Like, those emails that I was talking about earlier that I sent out, I did not send one to ABU because I had never even heard of it, you know, because yeah. We're, you know, it's a small school. But anyway, you know, the biggest thing that I, you know, kind of pitch, I guess, is the fact that we compete at a national level and you don't get to do that everywhere. You know, I kind of touched on it earlier. I was at Clarendon, and I, at the time, like I said, Coach James, my former coach, he's doing a great job over there. They compete nationally now, but back then that's not how it was. My freshman year, I think we won 5 games, and my sophomore year, I think we also won 5 games when we were bottom of the conference. So again, you know, like I went to Clarendon, and really my only goal in mind was I wanted to play college basketball. Like that was my really only thought, you know? And so going from that, you know, like I said, I kind of touched on it earlier, playing at a national level, let alone winning a national championship, was not even a thought in my mind whenever mm-hmm. I was at Clarendon. It didn't even, that thought of just winning a national championship at the college level did not even come into my mind until ABU started recruiting me. And obviously, you know, I did my research and I looked, and at the time they were coming off their third national championship in a row. And I was like, what? Dude, this school, you know, that I've never even, you know, heard of, like a national championship, like, what are you talking about? And so then I started doing, you know, looking more into the school and doing more research. And that was, you know, obviously a huge thing that was appealing to me, you know, because then that thought gets put into my head and I'm like, yeah, I want to do that for sure. And so again, that's probably like the biggest thing that I feel like is appealing, is that you can't get that everywhere. I mean, there's, again, you know, going back to how many different levels of college basketball there are, how many different colleges and universities that there are that you can go and play collegiate sports at. I mean, I have no idea what that number is, but I know that it's a very, very small number out of whatever that huge number is that you can go and legitimately have a chance to win a national championship and win a ring and be able to call yourself a national champion for the rest of your life. And, you know, that's an opportunity in the NCCAA, you know, no matter if you're D1 or D2, you can go and you can expect to compete at that national level and compete for a national championship. And so that's something that I definitely think is unique about playing at this level. And then even, you know, like new programs, you know, have that opportunity. I mean, for example, our rival school, actually, Champion Christian College in Arkansas, they're, I want to say, maybe 5 years old. And I think in the last 3 years, they've won two national championships. They beat us for both of those. But, you know, and they're a young program. It's really cool to me, you know, like you can, like I said, I know I'm kind of sounding redundant, but it's just something that I feel like is, again, just so unique. You know, I mean, there's plenty of schools in, I mean, even just like if we're just talking about Texas, how many colleges and universities that there are in Texas, but, you know, who's competing for a national championship? ABU, Texas, of course. You know, Baylor. It's like, you know, whenever you look at it that way, like, of course, you know, those are high major, you know, Division I schools. You know, of course, I mean, they would kill us if we ever, you know, got the chance to play them. But if you're just talking about winning, you know, a collegiate national championship, that is something that is very possible, you know, in coming to ABU. So that's definitely, you know, something that I always make sure to point out whenever I'm talking to recruits, for sure.
The players that are coming to you, then I imagine you're getting competitors. Then you're getting people who have the real desire to compete, to win, to be at a high level. Like I imagine.
Absolutely, absolutely.
That must be like a competitive environment. Then competitive.
Our practices are very, very competitive. I mean, like every little thing is a competition. Every little thing. But I love that though, because that's how I was as a player, and that's how I still am. I'm still competitive. Like I get mad if, you know, just like little things. You know, if my brother finishes his food before me or something, and you know, like that's the kind of players that. That we tend to bring in. And, you know, it's awesome just because, you know, they want to win it at everything in life. So that's, you know, like the effort that you get in those practices. So yeah, it's awesome.
That's exciting. I mean, just to be able to have that as like a pitch of like, do you want to win? Do you want to compete for a championship, right? To be considered a champion. And it's like, you hope that, you know, those players that you're recruiting don't have to hesitate at all on that sort of answer. You're like, the players who jump on that are the ones that you want. That's awesome.
Right.
As a coach, what keeps you at the NCAA? What keeps you going, and what keeps you excited about it? And as kind of a second part to that question, what do you think are the appeals potentially that may exist for a coach who might be looking at a NCAA school that might make that type of school the right fit for them?
Me personally, I mean, I love being in a Christ-centered environment. I really do. And especially, you know, with being at Arlington Baptist, we're a small school. You know, I think right now our enrollment is around 260. So super small, you know, especially for a 4-year school in Texas, very small. But it kind of, along with that, and along with us, you know, like being, like I said, just a Christ-centered community, it brings like that, just that small community and genuinely like family type of feel. And so, you know, that's the feeling that I got whenever I was a student athlete there. And, you know, still the feeling that I have coaching here. So I think that really is, I mean, to me, that's the biggest benefit of being a coach at this level, is that, you know, you're in a Christ-like environment, or, you know, a Christ-centered environment around like-minded people, you know, most of the time, of course, you know, it anyway, but, you know, but still being there, and, you know, just being able to just to openly, you know, like talk about Jesus and talk about the love of God. And, you know, even at the tournaments, you know, obviously, like it's just a different, you know, standard that, everybody is held to, but it's a great standard, you know. It's about, you know, that community, and it's about kindness, and, you know, obviously that level of competition is obviously still there, you know. 100%. Sure. Obviously everybody wants to win. But, you know, then at the end of the games, you know, we pray with the other team, and even just that, you know, like moment at the end of the game in itself. I mean, obviously, you know, if you lose, you're probably going to be a little bit upset, but just to know that, you know, basketball just, you know, brings us all together, is just something that's really great to be a part of. And like I said, it's definitely just kind of like a family environment, kind of, you know, anywhere you go. And like I said, you know, I really can only speak for Arlington Baptist, but, that's a huge part of the reason why, you know, obviously, like I wanted to go to ABU, and why, I mean, I've been there ever since. I've been here since 2017. So obviously, you know, I liked it enough to stay. But
yeah.
No, yeah, I definitely think that that is really the biggest benefit. And so, you know, for a coach looking at an NCCAA school, again, you know, the same thing. If that's something that, you know, means something to you, where, you know, you're able to freely talk about Christ and just be in, you know, a Christ-centered environment, then I think it's awesome. Again, that's why I really enjoy coaching at this level and at ABU specifically, because it's like the best of both worlds for me. I love basketball and I love Jesus. So I get to put those two
combine
things.
Combine them both.
Yeah, I get to put those two things together, and it's great. So yeah, for sure.
You mentioned about how the size of your school relative, especially in Texas, that it's relatively small. And regardless, though, I can tell, and just by hearing your answers, about the excitement of your program and the fact that you work to make your program an exciting program, a fun program. There's a lot of energy involved, even if it may not have the size or some of the resources that other institutions might have. So I wanted to ask you specifically about the things that you kind of work to do to make sure that your program still feels, you know, big per se, even if structurally maybe it's not as big as other institutions.
Right. So one of the cool things, you know, we have a certain number of like exhibition games that we play every year. And a few times out of the year, we actually go and get to play an NCAA Division I school. So, for example, this year we went and played Texas State University in San Marcos, Texas, and it was streamed on ESPN Plus. And so,
oh, cool.
You know, obviously, I tell my girls this too, you know, I expect to go in there and compete. And that's what we did. It was actually tied. The game was tied 23-23 in the second quarter, like halfway through the second quarter. And first of all, if we would have just taken one quarter from Texas State, I would have told everybody that we won. but you know, shortly after we tied the game at that, Texas State went on a little run. But anyway, the game was streamed on ESPN Plus, and that was enough. For my girls, I think that alone is what fired them up to play so well that game, because they kept talking about them being on ESPN. You know, like it was something that was fun. You know, obviously they ended up beating us by a lot. I don't even remember what it was. I don't want to remember the number of how much they beat us by. But you know, they got to go back and watch that game on ESPN Plus. The girls, you know, whose family couldn't be at the game, got to watch. You know, they got to watch their daughter or their niece, their granddaughter play on ESPN Plus.
How cool.
And, you know, they had like features for the players and stuff like that. I mean, it was cool for me too, you know? So, I have ESPN Plus. I got to go back and watch the game on ESPN Plus. So, that's one thing, you know, that I think is pretty cool is, you know, whenever we get that opportunity to go and compete against, you know, a high, high level like that, you know, like a Division I school. But something else that, I did kind of touch on earlier about, you know, what makes it exciting is, of course, you know, you come to ABU, you're competing for a national championship, you're a part of March Madness. Like, you know, I think it was my third year as an assistant. We were at the national tournament. We had made it to the Final Four of the NCCAA Division II national tournament. And we were playing the number one seed. And I think that we were the four seed. We were either the four or the five. And so, you know, people didn't really expect us to win that game. They had already beaten us once earlier that season. And this game was literally like, I mean, the definition of March Madness basketball. We ended up winning by 20. One of my girls went off and hit like 8 three-pointers, had 30 points. And it was like, that's one of the, a highlight, definitely a huge highlight, you know, that I'll have, I'll cherish that memory forever, because, the girls were like, there was just no stopping that energy. You know, it was truly, truly like, you know, that's March awesome. Madness energy. And so, you know, I remember going in the locker room and the girls spraying me with water and everybody's jumping around and crazy. But, you know, stuff like that happens every year. And then, you know, the NCCAA does a great job at, you know, hosting those tournaments, because they have, you know, they have the awards, you know, dinner and banquet and stuff. And, you know, they give out, you know, the first, second, you know, team All-Americans, they have a national player of the year. They have a dunk contest. They have a 3-point contest. They do a, like, you know, a skills contest. So, you know, they still incorporate, you know, all those things that, you know, you do see on TV. And it's just so much fun. Like, you know, again, I can speak, you know, from a student athlete perspective as well, because I got to do that my junior and senior year. The national tournament was at was in Greenville, South Carolina at Bob Jones University. And, you know, I mean, my senior year, I got to be a part of the skills competition. You know, it's just something is really, really, really cool, really fun. You know, you still get to travel. You know, like I said, I was in Greenville, South Carolina, beautiful, beautiful area. The last few years, the tournament was held in Joplin, Missouri. This year it's in Minneapolis, Minnesota. So, you know, like a ton of traveling, and you get to experience those things. So it's really fun, you know, to get to. I always tell the girls that it's the best part of the year, like that tail end of the year, whenever things are getting real, you know, and you're competing for a regional championship and then competing for a national championship. It is so much fun, and it is so exciting to really, really experience, you know, true, like, March Madness in that way.
Yeah, because just in hearing it, it's the exact same pretty much type of experience that somebody would get at NCAA, like Division I or Division II. Like, you have all of these same, you know, tournament type things, the same sort of environment, the same excitement that's there. It's
right.
Like, the equivalent version of it. And it's still like what's really cool to me is just the resources that are put into it, and how all the players are all into it. And it sounds like an experience that, like, everybody gets excited for, everybody gets hyped up for, and it becomes like this huge thing, 'cause everybody's like so excited to be a part of it.
Yes. Yeah. Every year, like around, you know, this time before the tournament starts, you know, the players are asking, like, is there going to be a dunk contest? Is there going to be a 3-point contest? Like, that's that's the first thing that they look forward to, of course, other than, you know, actually winning. They're excited for, you know, that fun stuff before.
Yeah, no, that's so cool. I think that's and even stuff like that, I'm thinking for like you were talking about, for like coaches and for players and for people who may be a little bit unsure about, you know, what to expect at one of these, you know, an NCAA like organization, to be able to like know that, like, hey, you come here, and like these things that you may see more prominently on TV and everything, like, we have all of that here. And it's like, oh, like, this is exactly like what I wanted out of my like college experience, to have those same type of experiences and have those same type of events and things to participate in, and to know that like I'll be able to coach in that or be able to play in that. It's like, oh, this is like everything that I was hoping it was going to be, sort of thing. That's really
right.
Cool.
Right.
Yeah. So for you, I wanted to ask about, as we start to wrap up here, as you start to think about recruiting in general, that was another thing I kind of wanted to touch on, as you are kind of navigating this recruiting portal of all of these players that maybe are, you know, reaching out to you, and you're looking at all these players, and there's all this stuff out there. How do you like separate between like certain players? What goes into you as a coach at a collegiate level to be able to really decide between player A and player B? How do you kind of like split those hairs when there's just so many players and so much talent out there?
Right. And you know, something that I always say, and mm-hmm. You know, other coaches that I've worked with, just, you know, at various camps and stuff like that, that I've heard them say several times, is, you know, whenever we're watching film, or we're watching highlights, or we're watching a game, or watching a specific player, we can tell very, very quickly whether or not, you know, that player is going to fit into our system, and, you know, specifically, you know, like what we're looking for. I mean, just from like a regular highlight tape, I can probably tell within the first 30 seconds to maybe, you know, a minute, if it even mm-hmm. takes that long, you know, whether or not this player can be a good fit here. And again, you know, a lot of that, you know, with us specifically, you know, and with my coaching style, is, you know, just like we play an up tempo game. We do have a big, you know, emphasis on defense. You know, obviously putting the ball in the bucket is one thing. You know, I mean, if you're looking to play college basketball, you should probably be able to score. But, you know, the defensive side and stuff like that is something that I really, really do try to focus on. And kind of how I navigate it is, you know, obviously if I see a player and I identify them as somebody that can come here and be successful, somebody that I think can really help us out, you know, I'll reach out. Obviously, if they hadn't reached out to me first, I'll reach out. And, you know, I like to get to know them as a person for sure. You know, again, just kind of going back to that, you know, that higher standard that we hold our student athletes to at Arlington Baptist University, you know, with us being a faith-based institution. Mm-hmm. I really, really like to, you know, talk to the player about more than basketball. I even, you know, just like, I like to go to their games. I like to talk to their family. You know, I like to see, you know, the kind of people that they, you know, surround themselves with. So that plays a factor for me, of course. Cause if I, you know, get a feeling about a player that, you know, maybe they're going to come in and be a little bit of a turd, you know, they might be really, really good, but you know, maybe this isn't, you know, the greatest fit. So, you know, I keep that in mind too, of course. But you know, and something that I like to do that I kind of, you know, wish that, you know, was more of a thing is like, if a player is maybe not a fit, you know, for us, I kind of like to just, you know, be honest and say, sure, you know, like this is what I'm looking for. You know, I like to be honest. That's, you know, that's me, you know, personally. And again, just because you're not a fit for ABU does not mean that you are not going to be a fit for somebody else. Like I didn't really believe that whole thing, you know, whenever I was growing up about there being a level of college basketball for everybody, but it is like, it's 100% true. Like experiencing that, you know, like through college, like seeing it through playing in college and then now through coaching, if you want to play collegiate basketball, there is a place for you. Just because it, like I said, it might not be ABU. It could be another school in our region. It could be another school in the NCCAA. It could be a JUCO. It could be anywhere else, but I promise that there's, you know, a level for you. So yeah, that's kind of how I navigate through that.
No, I really, really like that a lot. Cause I think that players can think that, you know, if they're a coach doesn't think, oh, like, you know, I'm not a good fit for them. They said that I'm not a good fit for them. Like, oh, that means they personally don't like me, or, you know, there's something, right, you know, there's something that like, I'm not good enough to play, you know, collegiately or whatever. But that, you know, that's not always the case, that as you mentioned, right, there's different fits and there's different, you know, situations that would be better for certain players. And, you know, I think that kind of goes back to something that we talked about earlier about players, you know, reaching out and advocating for themselves and looking to get into contact with coaches and try and find, you know, those programs that maybe are a good fit for them and yes, really like do their research and do their homework on that. Because, you know, for those players who have the ability to do it and have the desire to play at the college level, for them to like take that ownership, I think, and really look and do that research into what am I looking for in my college experience, and what type of play style or what type of environment am I looking to be in? I think that should be really encouraging for players to just think like, hey, like there can be an environment for you if you really go out and like really do your research and look into it.
Yeah, for sure.
That's cool. Awesome. Well, this flew by, Coach. So to wrap up, there's a couple questions that I ask every guest. So I'm going to go ahead and start with this first one, which is thinking back on your coaching career, what is a moment from your coaching career that you think others listening would be able to learn from?
Well, you know, for me, I mean, it happened recently. So, okay. You know, I touched a little bit, you know, about just, you know, my journey into coaching. You know, after I was done playing at ABU, I was an assistant for 3.5 years. Now I say half, because, December of last season. So I get it, that it was December of 2022. I was actually made the interim head coach at ABU. Okay. So, you know, I guess you could say that I was, you know, somewhat, you know, thrown into that position. Obviously, you know, becoming the interim head coach in the middle of the season is not necessarily how I would have liked to step into the position, you know. In a way, I almost felt like I didn't really earn it, you know. I kind of felt like it was just something that was kind of placed into my lap, and this is, you know, what had to happen. But if there's one thing that I can say that, you know, I would take away from that, is that the opportunity, you know, wouldn't have, you know, presented itself to you if you weren't ready. And, you know, again, God wouldn't have presented that opportunity to you if he didn't think that you were ready. And so I, you know, I'm sure that there were a lot of people doubting me. You know, at the time I was 25, I'm 26 now. I mean, I'm a young coach. And you know, I was an assistant for 3.5 years. I didn't have any head coaching experience, at least not at the college level, you know, prior to that time. And like I said, you know, I'm sure that there were a lot of people that, you know, maybe thought that it was going to be a disaster. But we finished that season as, you know, the national runner up. You know, we got all the way to the national championship and ended up losing by 5. And the team that we lost to in the national championship was the only team that we lost to after, I was made the interim. Wow. So, you know, it definitely, you know, I look back on that time and, you know, obviously I know that I still have a lot to learn. I'm very, very aware, you know, that I'm a young coach and there's, you know, there's still so much, for me to learn and to experience. But you know, I guess that I would just say if an opportunity is presented to you and, you know, this is the way that God wants things to be, I mean, take it on full force and put, you know, your full effort into it, because that's, you know, what I did. Cause ultimately I knew that, you know, my goal was to be a head coach at some point. And like I said, the opportunity came in, I guess, an unconventional way, you know, not really a way that I expected. But you know, I feel like I wanted to do the most with it. And, you know, it ended up going well. I was, uh-huh. You know, I was made the head coach after that season. And yeah, you know, I really do just believe that, you know, God wouldn't lay an opportunity in front of you if he didn't think that you were ready. So that's definitely, you know, something that I learned from and that, you know, something that I hope other people can take something away from as well.
I love that. Just that idea of just go for it, you know, like go for it, dive in head first sort of thing. And, you know, the opportunity is there and it's great that, you know, I know the circumstances maybe weren't necessarily the best that found you in that situation, but like, it's how it worked out and just how you're thriving now and how I can tell how excited you are, not only that you did it, but that you're still there, right? You're still doing right. It. You're still after it after, you know, kind of the craziness of that situation. Oh, that's awesome. I think that gives a lot of hope, hopefully, to, you know, coaches who are on the fence and like, oh, should I not? It's like, go for it, you know, go for it. Yeah. And see how it goes and see what happens. And you'll know right away if it's a great situation or not, but it'll be a valuable learning experience one way or the other. And so I'm glad it's been a positive one for you. To wrap up, coach, I give every guest kind of what I call a 60-second soapbox. It's kind of your platform to get out kind of a final thought, a closing message, a closing idea. You can go over 60 seconds too. That's fine. But I wanted to kind of give you kind of this final platform to kind of get out a final message that you want to leave the listeners with, whatever basketball coaching message you want to go with. So, coach, I'm going to go ahead and open up the floor and I'm going to let you take it from here.
All right. Well, yeah, for starters, I think that I said it several times, you know, during this mm-hmm. time, but if you are, you know, in high school, if whatever age you are and you have aspirations to play collegiate basketball, there is absolutely an opportunity for you. And, you know, coaches too, I mean, out there, pass that message, you know, down to your kids. There are absolutely, you know, a just a crazy number of different levels of college basketball, different colleges, different universities. And there definitely is a level for everybody. I mean, honestly, it might take some digging. You know, I'm sure that a lot of people probably hadn't heard of the NCCAA, mm-hmm. you know, but before us talking about it, but, you know, that's a smaller collegiate level, and you can get all those opportunities playing at a national level, all, you know, all that kind of stuff. But you know, again, it just kind of goes to show that there really is a level for everybody. And you know, sometimes it just, you know, might take a little bit of digging to go and find that. Recruits, it's also, again, never too late, to find that level for yourself. You know, if you have to take things head on, again, if you truly have that aspiration to go out and play college basketball, you can take matters into your own hands. You can gather your film. You can make a field level account. You can make a Twitter account. You can get your name out there. So just, you know, don't let anything hold you back. And then also, you know, for other young coaches like myself, we're in this together, you know, it's coaching is a very long career, and I know that I have a lot more to learn. And I'm excited for it. I'm excited to continue to learn. I'm excited to continue to grow, and just for the experiences that come along with coaching, I'm excited for the future, you know, wherever it takes me. So, and again, God would not lay an opportunity in front of you if he didn't think that you were ready. So, you know, just remember that in any season, in a season of waiting, even in a season of success, in a season of, you know, maybe, you know, something didn't go the way that you wanted it to. I mean, just trust your gut, trust God, and just keep pushing and keep working and keep doing the things that you love, for sure.
Awesome. What a great message to kind of leave with. And I really appreciate you coming on and speaking on, again, a topic, NCCAA that maybe a lot of our listeners didn't know about, but just the way that you presented it and the way that you talked about it, I think has really opened up, some eyes and ears about that as being a legitimate possibility, and how exciting the level of play and the, you know, the competitiveness and all the opportunities that exist there. So, Coach, I really appreciate you coming on, talking to us about that and sharing your passion and sharing your excitement for the game and the game at that level. And I hope that things continue going great here as you continue on the recruiting trail, and that you get another great group of recruiting class coming in next year, and you get right after it this next year, and have a great March Madness a year from now when I catch up with you. So this would be awesome. Appreciate it, Coach. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
And thank you all for listening. This was another edition of the Basketball Teacher Podcast. We will see you guys next time.
Thank you for listening to another edition of the Basketball Teacher Podcast. Make sure to connect with us on YouTube, Facebook, and Twitter, or reach us directly through email at basketballteacherpodcast@gmail.com. Take care, be safe, and we'll see you next time.